Our Father and our God, we thank you for this fellowship hour. And as we are gathered together, we give you glory and praise. We declare that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine our hearts this morning. Let our ears be open to hear. Let our eyes be open to see. And let our hearts be available to understand what the Lord is saying to the church, even at this time. And we pray that you will receive all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is day number 8, I believe, in the series Prophets, Prophecy, the Gift of Prophecy, and walking in the prophetic. Well, we're now in the walking in the prophetic. And I want to, we covered some things yesterday. I want to go in depth a little bit more today because this is the most important part of these lessons. And we want to let you know that, walking in the prophetic is part of our whole journey of walking with God. You know, and in as much as many people are intrigued about the prophetic, we all want to hear from God, etc. Well, we thought, you know, it seemed good. Luke said it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to me to write these things unto you. Well, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to share these things with you so that we may know the things that are freely given us of God and also to know where the Lord wants us to be at this time. We have talked about many things, the most important of which I want to say today for today's lesson is that we need that individual connection with the Lord. Not just that someone else will hear from God for us, you know, but that we will hear from God for ourselves. Hallelujah. A kingdom of priests, the Lord said unto me, a peculiar people, a people near unto the Lord, not a people that say, Lord, Lord, and praise him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. No. But a people whose hearts are after the Lord. Hallelujah. And God is looking for true worshipers in the spirit. And we're praying that these lessons will help us to connect the dots on how, you know, we should walk with God and walk in the spirit, walk in the prophetic all at once. Praise the Lord. So, the prophetic involves hearing God's voice and seeing what God is showing. The Holy Spirit is promised as showing us things to come. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Moreover, Jesus promised that his sheep will do, there's three things or three or four things he said about his voice and relationship with his sheep. We covered this yesterday. It's just a quick review. In John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, and verses 27 to 29, Jesus said, well, my sheep will hear my voice. That's number one. They know it too when they hear it. I mean, they will hear many things, right? They may hear many voices, but they know the one which is mine, he said, and they will follow me. Now, they may hear other voices, but they don't know those voices, so they won't follow those voices. So I want to take a little bit of time today to talk about some of these other voices that compete and are always competing with the voice of the Lord. But the Lord said, look, they will not follow the voice of strangers. Well, there are many strange voices. And I'm going to take a little bit of time, the first part of today's lesson, to cover the strange voices, those distractions. You know, I try to distract us away from the real voice of the Lord. You got to filter out all the other voices in order for us to hear the voice of the Lord. And when you're filtering out, because you know his voice, when you hear it, you will know it. You say, well, how will you know it? Well, you will know it when you hear it. You know, because my sheep hear my voice. They know it. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. For my Father that gave them to me is greater than all. So these are the things. Now, we talked yesterday about many kinds of voices that Paul talked about in 14 verses 10 and 11. But I want to call out a few of these voices. We talked about the still small voice of the Lord yesterday, but let me first call out so that we can recognize these voices of distraction that come against us. So many voices, and there are several of them. I'm going to go through about 8 different voices here today, just real quickly, because you have to be able to distinguish, kind of like what we talked about yesterday when you're looking for a radio station. There are many out there. You have to know what you're looking for. You know, maybe their call sign, maybe the signature tune, maybe the songs they play, maybe the kind of things they do. But you got to know what you're looking for. Otherwise, you might tune into the wrong place. You know, before we get any further, let me speak a little bit about voices in general. You know, everybody has a voice print. You know, and there is a sound to that voice too. And you hang around long, you know, enough with the person, you actually be able to recognize their voice. Even if they call you on the phone, even if there's no caller ID, before they even say their name, if they speak a word or two, because you know that voice, you recognize it. There may be a lot of people speaking in a crowd. There may be a voice. You know, you can recognize that voice. Even if you may not be looking, they may be behind you. But you recognize their voice because you've been, you know, you just know that voice. You know, and might be a lot of children in the room crying. Well, when your own child cries, you recognize the voice. You know, children recognize their parents' voice as well. People recognize the voices of people in their family, their friends, your co-workers, even people you work with that you may not even live with, but, you know, you've worked with them long enough, you've been on the same meetings and so forth. You know, even you go to, a conference, on a conference call where there's a lot of people, and, the video may not even be on, may not be a video call, it may just be an audio call, but, you know, when someone begins to speak, there may even be no intro underneath their name, but, you know, you've heard that voice long enough, you can know the voice. You just know that, yeah, it's such a person. Now, that's not the case. Let's say you're just joining that group and you're just coming into that meeting for the first time and you're listening on the phone. You don't know who's speaking because you don't know their voice. You know, but enough time passes, you will actually know the voice. And same thing on this platform. There are some people who speak often in this room that even if you're not looking at the screen and you're just listening in, you may be driving, you may be at work, you may be, you know, doing whatever, just listening in as though it was just a, you know, some kind of podcast or something. You're just listening. And you hear their voice, they just begin to speak. You know who it is because you just know that voice. Now, that's not the case if you are new to the room. unless they announce themselves and say, I'm such and such, you may not know that voice. So we see the difference, you know, by association, you know, by being connected and by hearing and listening to that voice over time, you get to know it. Well, the same thing with the voice of the Lord. Where we're headed at the end of this series is for us to be so in tune with that voice that we know it. Not only do we hear it, we know it. We can recognize it among all other voices. And we follow that voice. You know, just knowing it is not enough. We follow it. Praise the Lord. You know, where the Lord is taking us is beyond the general instruction. There's general instruction for everybody. But then there is specific instruction just for you. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, it's a one-on-one. When you get into that most holy place, there's only one person in there. You know, one person, and that's you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, so, but first, let's sift out all these other negative voices and voices of distraction. Some of them are more in your face kind of thing, but some are more subtle. But let's see what they are. I'll just give a few scriptures. I won't spend a whole lot of time, but I'll talk about each one quickly. You know, many of them. There is the voice of fear. That's right. You know, the reason we're calling this out is you've got to recognize these traits and these characteristics in the voice. If the voice is trying to induce fear, then you will know that that's not the voice of the Lord. But there's always that voice of fear. And fear is one of the devil's A1 tools that he uses to try to discourage us from doing what it is the Lord wants us to do. A good story you will find for that is in Numbers chapter 13, verses 31 to 33. Now, you know the story. We told it multiple times. So the spies that spied out the land and so forth. You know, and the fear that 10 of the 12 spies reported, the way they reported they gave their own report, the fear that they brought upon the congregation to the point where everybody, most of them, became afraid that they couldn't do it. You know, because people said, we can't do that. We can't go up against those people. They're giants. And we ourselves are like grasshoppers. And the land is consuming everything. And they just gave an evil report. I mean, they just went on and on and on and on and gave an evil report. And the intent of the evil report actually caused the people to be afraid. They were afraid to the point that they didn't want to go forward. Some of them also actually began to say, well, we were better off. In Egypt, they were always saying that anyway. But it was that kind of effect, you know, that the voice had, I mean, the report had upon those people. They said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than us. And they brought an evil report from the land that they searched, you know, and so forth. And all the people, you know, of the land, they said, you know, they are giants. We ourselves are grasshoppers, etc., etc. To the point that the people were afraid. You know, afraid. Well, that fear also induced unbelief. Unbelief brings fear. Fear brings unbelief. All these negative things, they work together. You know, so the voice of unbelief is there as well. There is an example in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And what do we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17? Well, we see there is a story that the Lord gave us there that we can learn from. In this story, the Philistines were up against the children of Israel. And the, you know, everybody was greatly dismayed, greatly afraid. Now, this is fear, but it's also unbelief, because the Lord told them that he will fight their battles, but they didn't believe. So you can see how fear and unbelief work together. So everybody was cowering in the corner. They were afraid of this Goliath, but they were also in unbelief, because if they would have known that the Lord will fight for them, you know, but there was a young man that came in there with faith that said, well, the Lord has fought for me before, will fight for me again. You know, so these things, these negative voices, they all work together. One of them will bring, one of these negative voices will bring fear. Another one will bring unbelief, will bring discouragement, and so on and so forth. We're going to look at them quickly. But when you're hearing the voice, and if it is wrapped around with fear and generates all these other negative things, then you will know that it is not from the Lord. In Jude verse 5, Jude says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you knew this once, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, so all those negative voices in their heads that made them think they couldn't do it, well, ended up causing them to be destroyed. So we don't want any part of that. As voice of discouragement, like I said, they all walk together. Discouragement is there. You can read the first four verses of chapter 14 in the same story. I mean, that story alone brings out many of these voices. But in that same story, people are discouraged. They say, we can't, you know, because they heard, you know, what the spies said. They themselves, you know, agreed and said, well, we really can't do it, so we will perish. And they were discouraged. And the devil actually achieved his goal there through the negative reporting, achieved his goal in making the people to be discouraged. Now, all of that led to something very, very bad for them, as you know. You know, their unbelief and everything they did caused them to inherit a breach of promise from the Lord instead of inheriting the real promise. And that was horrible. And the Lord told them, because you have not sanctified my word, you know, I also will give you up. Your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. And they died, many of them, most of them actually, died in that wilderness. And the Lord said, well, you will know my breach of promise. Each day for a year, 40 days that they searched out the land and you did not believe, well, you're going to spend 40 years in this wilderness. Numbers 14 and 34. And you will know my breach of promise. So we see that these negative things can actually cause a breach of God's promise. Even though God promised it, that they should go and get the promised land, but because of their, they allowed fear, they allowed unbelief, they allowed discouragement, and then Lord said, well, fine, then you will not go. And he said, look, as you have spoken in my ears, verse 28 of Numbers 14, even as you have spoken, saying, well, our children will die and all of these things, well, he says, so will it be unto you. You know, all the negative things you allow to come in your mind and come out of your mouth, Well, so will it be. As you have spoken in my ear, so will I do unto you. This reminds us that we got to be very careful what you say with your mouth. Even if the negative thought comes to the mind, just immediately discard it by the word of God. But if you confess that negativity, or the Lord said, well, you know, what you have spoken in my ears, that will I also do unto you. So we got to be very careful. There's also the voice of doubt. Just going through these voices very quickly. A good example of that is Matthew 14. I mean, Peter, he stepped out on the boat, verses 28 to 31. He stepped out, like Jesus said, come, and he came. And he stepped out, and he actually did walk on water for a bit, you know. We don't know how long, how many steps he took, but he did. And then, you know, rather than keep his eyes on Jesus, he looked around him and he saw all the waves that were very boisterous, the Bible said. In other words, raging. And, well, the waves were there the whole time. And then he said, I can't walk on water. You know, I can't do this. And then he began to sink. And when he cried out, of course, thank God he had no sense to cry out. The Lord pulled him out, saved him. But then the Lord said, you know, wherefore did you doubt? You know, so doubt there. We see when the voice of the Lord said, come, doubt said, I can't do it. You know, so these things we're bringing out to see what the voice of the Lord said, go forward, go and take the land. Fear, unbelief, discouragement came and said, you can't do it. Voice of the Lord said, come unto me, you can walk on the water, walk on Peter. And then the voice of doubt said, I can't do that. And you begin to sink. You know, there is the voice of despair. When people just, you know, you can feel despair in their voices. Like, look, I've tried so many times, but nothing seems to be working. I prayed for so long. The Lord doesn't seem to be hearing. And then despair can set in. You know, there is a man in a story in John chapter 5. I read it from about the first 9 verses or so. You know, but the good thing though, this particular man, well, he kept coming, but he could feel the discouragement, the despair in his voice. He said, look, every time I tried, you know, I couldn't make it. Someone kept ahead of me because Jesus asked him something. Jesus saw the man there and he saw his condition and he knew that he has been, the scripture says, long term in that condition. So Jesus asked him, would you be made whole? And the man, he looks at Jesus and says, what kind of a question is that? We're coming out here, we're camping out, waiting for the moving of the water, every one of us. But for me, there is no hope. Really? I mean, sure, I want to be made whole, but I can't do it because every time I've tried, somebody that's a little bit quicker than me gets in the water ahead of me. And you know, it's only one person. The first one that gets in when the angel moves that water. And so every time I get this close, but I can't get it. And there was the despair in his voice. The Lord saw it. But we thank God for, you know, the grace of God, the mercy of the Lord. Jesus would show us something that day that, look, I'm right here. Never mind the angel or the water. Today, right here with the master. But there was that despair in his voice. Now, there are many other examples and stories in the Bible. I'm just picking one of each, you know, just so I don't dwell too long on this, but I want to bring it up. You know, one of the most subtle voices is the voice that I call the voice of reason or the voice of logic. It's very subtle. And so we have to be able to detect that when we are trying to figure out what is the voice of the Lord or what is this voice saying. Well, you know, God doesn't do, you know, logic and reason, and God's not bound by all those things. There's a story in Genesis chapter 16, first couple of verses. And you might know the story, you know, the story of Abraham, you know, and his wife, you know, Sarah. And Sarah, you know, Sarah would say, look, the Lord has restrained me now from bearing children. I'm old, so I can't do it. Now, there was a promise, but there was, you know, that logic or reasoning. And because of that, she tried to do something else. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, I have these two examples. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, there was also logic and reason. You know, Elisha, the man of God, prophesied something, said by this time tomorrow, there will be such a surplus. I mean, they had been in a dire strait for many months. You know, the cut off their enemies, cut off their supplies. And they had been in this situation for a long time. And when Elisha gave the prophecy that by this time tomorrow, things will be so cheap, when you buy one, you almost get three or four or five free. You know, he was doing that. And he said that. And one of the king's men, you might call him chief of staff or something. I mean, he saw this thing and he heard what, he heard what the prophet said. And he said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Now, so that's logic. Logic is because, look, things are so bad right now. I know, well, even if the Lord opened windows, how can this thing be? It can't be. You know, everybody else have been through this situation. They didn't make it. What makes you think you will make it? It can be all kinds of negative logic. Well, even if the Lord opens the windows in heaven. I mean, there's so much scarcity right now that this thing couldn't possibly be. Well, it was. It happened. And the prophet said, you won't eat of it. And of course, that's exactly what happened to him. But there's all these negative voices in there. And, but there's another voice. I call it the voice of faith. Now, so as you listen to the voice, the thing that you're trying to decipher whether it's from God or not, well, see whether it's bringing fear, unbelief, discouragement, doubt, you know, reason, logic, and all these things, or if it's bringing faith. Now, there is the voice of faith. In the same story, you know, which is really the main story that brings out a lot of these negative voices, in Numbers chapter 14, we see in verses 6 to 9, there was a different voice of faith. There were two gentlemen there that said, look, we can do this. These people are nothing. You know, we can do it. They will be bread for us. We will have them for lunch. Their strength is departed from them. The Lord is with us. We can do this. Let's go up at once and take the place. Joshua and Caleb did. Well, theirs was a voice of faith. In the midst of course, their voice was drowned out. See, this is the thing. You know, the negative voices always seem to win. And in this particular case too, the negative voices won. There was only two versus ten. And, you know, these two were saying, look, the Lord has promised us this thing. We can do it. Don't even think otherwise. We are able. Let's go up at once and take the place. You know, that's a voice of faith. Others said, no, we can't do it because of all these other things. You know, so these are the things that we need to look at when we're talking about the voice of the Lord. What is the thing saying? What is it bringing? And what is it inspiring? Is it inspiring fear? Is it inspiring unbelief? Doubt? You know? Or is it inspiring confidence and courage? I mean, the voice of the Lord might say things to you like this, you know, like in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 8. I say, fear not. You know, the reason why the Lord used to say that, you know, but because this fear, you know, we talk about it. That was the number one that I called out. It's just a destiny destroyer. It will kill that thing before it even gets started. And so that's why the Lord always tried to get it out of the way. Fear not. And every time, even Jesus in the New Testament, when he come upon a situation, you know, I mean, during the days of his ministry, not before the cross, but during the days of his ministry, when he come upon a situation, you know, he would say, fear not, you know, and the damsel were dying and everybody crying, you know, died, put them out, you know, don't be afraid, you know, and so forth. The girl is only sleeping. I mean, all kinds of things. We just try to get rid of the fear. You know, fear not. Why are you so fearful when the disciples were in the boat and the storm rose up against them? How come is it you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? I mean, Jesus was always trying to deal with that fear. You know, but these people, they had a voice of faith. You know, David also had a voice of faith in the midst of all the fear and all the unbelief of the other people. He said, look, you know, this man has come against the armies of the living God. And I'm going to deal with him. You know, it was a young man. Nobody thought he could. But he said, I'm going to deal with him. I dealt with the lion and the bear. I'm going to deal with this uncircumcised Philistine as well. I mean, the man, he had faith. He has confidence. You know, and he knew the Lord would give him the victory. Hallelujah. You know, so what is the, you know, what is the voice telling you, or what is it inspiring in you? Is it inspiring confidence? Is it inspiring, you know, does it bring comfort, edification, you know, does it exhort you to trust the Lord? Is it encouraging you to believe and not give up? I mean, these are the things, you know, even when we are passing through, even when you must pass through, which you must, you know, the voice of the Lord will be there. It'll give you guidance and comfort. As Jesus said, I will send you another comforter that you may be with you. So when we try to decipher all these things, these attributes in these voices, you know, let's see whether the voice is one. Is it, you know, glorifying the Lord? Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will testify of me. And even the, you know, the old departed prophet that was showing John some of these things said to him in Revelation 19 and 10, he said, look, don't do it. Don't, you know, you can't worship me. You've got to worship God. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Now, does this thing bring glory to God? Or is it bringing glory to somebody else? And these are the things, you know, that we would do. Faith, as you know, defies logic. You know, so, and God's voice, which is in his word, is supposed to inspire faith to defy logic. You know, Abraham defied logic. We're told that, you know, in Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 21, he defied logic. You know, his own body being 100 years old and so forth, you know, he said, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to still be the father of nations anyway. And he even changed his name because the Lord spoke to him and he recognized that voice. See, and that's how the Lord, you know, would always talk to the people, give them something to hold on to. And that voice will be with you to hold you, give you something to hold on to. You know, how does the voice of faith work? Well, you know, this is just a small digression. We've talked about faith so many different times, how it must be based on the word of God. So remember that. Remember your faith specs. But let's go back to the, a verse for that, by the way, in case you guys, anybody is new, Hebrews 11 and 13 will tell you the different steps to getting that to work for you properly. Find a promise first. They saw the promise. That's the S. P, they were persuaded. E, they embraced it. And C, they confessed it. So we call it faith specs. And if the word of God if the voice brings you a promise or gives you an outlook, then there must be a word to back it up. You can find it in the scriptures. And then you got to be persuaded that what the voice told you, God is able to do. You embrace it for that situation and you begin to confess it. I will be the father of nations, even though you don't have a child. Doesn't matter. You know, you confess it anyway. And you keep confessing it until the Lord does it. Now, the voice of God is to motivate us to the place where God wants us to be. Now, there is a scripture in Psalm 103 and verse 20. Let me just bring this in here. That tells us about the voice of God's word. It said, praise the Lord, ye his hosts, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So there is the voice of God in his word. And I like to say his voice is in his word. And his word has a voice to it too. It can be written and it can be spoken. And when it is spoken and mixed with faith, we call it rhema. In its latent form, you might call it logos, but it carries the power of the creations right there. But, you know, unless it's mixed with faith, it really won't be able to do anything. So see what that voice is telling you. Is it telling you? And is it motivating you to have faith and to believe God? The voice of the Lord, Psalm 29. This verse talks about the voice of the Lord. I mean, this psalm or this chapter talks about many things about, you know, the voice of the Lord, many of his attributes. But, you know, some people didn't want the voice of the Lord. We've talked about them many times. They would rather have someone else go listen to it rather than they themselves. You know, but we're told that the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Hallelujah. Psalm 29, verse 3. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divided the flames of fire. I mean, these are all the things the voice of the Lord can do. Shake at the wilderness, even the wilderness of Kadesh. And the voice of the Lord can even cause the hinds to call, discover the forest, and so on and so forth. Now, what is the voice of the Lord to you? When you hear that voice, does it bring you comfort? You know, yesterday we talked about it may be surrounded with a lot of noise, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, the shaking of the earth, and so on and so forth. But yet, the Lord was not in it. 1 Kings 19, we read that story yesterday. But it was in the still small voice. Be still and know that I am God. Now, you've got to come to a place of stillness. You can't know unless you are still. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now this tells us that, I mean, being still means, well, you know, get rid of all the distractions. You know, all these other distractions, sift them out, get rid of them. And be silent before me, O house. You know, as it says in Isaiah 41. And then, when we hear his voice, harden not your heart, we're told. As in the day of provocation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works. 40 years they tempted the Lord. Well, the Lord said, well, if you hear his voice this time around, you know, don't be like those ones. You know, let us be like the ones that will recognize the voice of the Lord. And remember, recognition is part of what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and they know it, and they follow me. See, they got to follow that voice. That voice is not there just for it to make a sound. It's there to give instruction and to lead. And so we got to follow that voice. Follow the voice, you know, and see, you know, because the scripture says that, look, these people hardened their voices. They didn't follow. Psalm 95. You know, he said, the Lord is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. He's talking about that sheep again. You know, today, if you will hear his voice, you know, Psalm 95, verse 7. Well, my sheep hear my voice. Well, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like those people did. The voice of the Lord spoke to them, if you will obey my voice indeed, you will be a kingdom of priests unto us. He said, no, we can't do it. We don't want to hear that voice. You go hear it and come tell it to us. Well, today, if you as the sheep of the Lord will hear his voice, then harden not your heart like they did in the provocation back in the wilderness. You know, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with that generation. And the Lord finally said, this is a people that do err in their hearts, a stiff-necked people that have not known my ways. And then the Lord said, I swear in my wrath that they will not enter into my rest. But there is a rest. You know, there is a rest that God has prescribed for the people of God. And seeing that those to whom it was first given could not enter in because of unbelief, well, then there is of a certainty that some people must enter in, you know, and we are the people that must enter in. We're not going to fall on the wayside like they did, you know. This voice was to instruct them to know his ways. Moses said, show me thy way, Lord. That's right. You know, show me thy way. You got to show me your way, Lord, that I may know you. But to know his voice, it's all wrapped up in there. All these people have not known my ways, he said. The Lord wants us to know him. That voice will lead you back to him. And that's how you recognize that voice. And there are many different ways, you know, that the Lord would speak to us. You know, we throughout this series, we've talked about different things. We've talked about dreams, visions, the word of the Lord himself, that written word. We're talking today about his voice. You know, we've talked about prophecy. We've talked about all kinds of things, you know, but what is the intent of all of this? Well, it's to bring us to a place of rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You know, that's a place, you know, but he said to him, look, but beware of the angel of the Lord. My voice is in him and it will not pardon your transgression if you don't listen. You know, so we must listen to the Lord. The voice of the Lord is in his word. The angel of the Lord is with us also if we fear the Lord. You know, Psalm 34 verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear the Lord. And he will deliver them from evil. The voice of the Lord is, I mean, God doesn't, I mean, joke around with it. If we hear his voice and we don't pay attention. Jesus said, and we read this yesterday, why is it that you cannot understand my speech? And why is it that you cannot even hear my word? Well, because you're not of God. Yeah. But he that is of God, he said, heareth my voice, you know. And when the Lord was, you know, when the Lord was cautioning Moses, you know, he said, look, my voice is in that angel that will go before you, and he will not pardon your transgression. So you better be careful. Now, the voice of the Lord at this time will lead us, but we've got to be careful too. You know, there is a place of instruction that the voice brings, but there's also a place of caution. Because, I mean, how long will the Lord put up with us not hearing his voice? If we don't hear his voice and do what he says, then we are subject to the same things that happened to those people. Because at the end, the Lord said, well, these people are stiff-necked people, because they will not hear my voice. So that must not be our portion. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we hear his voice, and we obey it, then it is well with us. In the book of Exodus chapter 23, when the Lord was talking to Moses, I sent my angel before you and so forth. He said, beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now, Exodus 23 and 21. You know, let's consider the warning there about obeying his voice. The voice of the Lord, he said, even the angel that I sent before you, you know, my voice is in him, so you better listen to him, you know, because he's not messing around. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep you in the way that you should go, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared for you. See, this is the journey that we are on. It's called walking with God. The angel of the Lord is with us, bring us to that place. But along the way, his voice, the voice of the Lord is in him. The voice of the Lord is all around us. But he said, look, you better be careful now, because if you do not obey his voice and you provoke him, he will not pardon. They want him. You know, but if, you see, there's always that side. See, again, this is how you know the voice of the Lord. Even when he gives you rebuke, there's always a promise, a comfort, consolation behind that, that if you do the right thing, that's a great blessing. All the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, whenever the Lord would rebuke them, there was perhaps only one or so that didn't really have any rebuke, you know, but when he would rebuke them, I know that works, and so on and so forth, he would always come back with a soothing promise. Well, if you overcome these things, it's a tremendous blessing for you. And so that's what the Lord told him here also. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, well, I want to call this out about the voice of the Lord. You know, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 22. Let's study this for a minute. If you obey the voice of the Lord and do all that I speak, you know, that's the intent of the voice of the Lord. It's not just for him to speak. We have to obey it and do it. Said, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies. Hallelujah. And I will be an adversary unto your adversaries. Isn't that beautiful? For the Lord to fight, you'll fight. But it starts with, obey my voice. If you obey the voice of the Lord, you know, then, you know, he will do all these things for you. Well, how do I know his voice? Yeah, we've covered that already. How is the Lord speaking to you? Some people say, how does the Lord speak to, you know, people? Well, speaking this way or speaking that way. The Lord can speak to you in multiple ways. It's not just one way. Today, he may choose to speak to you by dream when you are sleeping, but you can't, he can't speak to you by dream during the day. I mean, no, in the day, he might speak to you by vision. He might even speak to you by word. You know, the word might come to you. We read that yesterday. Say, look, you will hear the voice behind your ear telling you something. Give you instruction. Can give you by inspiration. Now, we have the mind of Christ also. And I want to talk about the mind of Christ a little bit, because some people say, well, you know, how does prophecy or how does the word of God come to people who say, well, prophecy might be from the Lord, from the devil, from your mind, from this and that. Well, okay, that may be the case. But I guarantee you, you know, if you have the mind of Christ, you know, and you know what Jesus, you know, what the Lord, Jesus himself said, ye who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give, you know, the Holy Spirit to then ask him. If you're asking Holy Spirit for direction, you won't be getting the devil. But also we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ comes from exercising his presence, knowing and understanding him, you know, and exercising, you know, our senses to recognize his presence. Over the years, you know, I told that in Hebrews, you know, chapter 5, he said, those who have had their, you know, antennas sharpened because they've exercised their senses. They know how to discern good and evil. Well, discerning good and evil is one thing, but also discerning accurate and almost accurate is another thing. You know, discerning true and almost the truth is yet another thing. You know, and why do I say that? Well, because the devil, he knows how to camouflage and bring, you know, almost the truth, not exactly a complete lie, you know, but mix it up in there. That's why it's called the knowledge of good and evil. Some good and some evil mixed up and becomes the mystery of iniquity. You know, he said, look, let the tree be all evil and let the tree be all good. Don't mix it up in there. But the devil is a master at mixing it up. He'll mix it up. It takes 3 measures of meal, which looks good, you know, and then put a little leaven inside of it. Got it all mixed up. And then all of a sudden, a little poison makes the whole food poison. You know, that's it. You know, they put a little poison, the whole food is poison. You know, and that's what the devil does. And he's a master at it. So we've got to know how to discern good and evil. And it's called strong meat. You know, in Hebrews 5 and 14, it calls it strong meat. Belongs to those who are of age. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Well, it's the mind of Christ. I call it the mind of Christ. You know, when your mind is, when you're constantly soaked in prayer and the word of God and reading his word and so forth, you begin to develop the mind of Christ. You know his mind on the subject. You know, 1 John 3 and 22 tells us, it gives us 2 important principles. You know, we keep his commandments. Well, first you have to know the commandment, right? And then we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And I call it, some of you have heard me say it, I call it active obedience and passive obedience. We must have both when we want to walk in the prophetic. Active obedience is you hear what he said and you do it. That's active. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, the Lord commands and we do. End of story. There's no questions asked. Just like Jesus, whatever the Father showed him is what he did. And that same relationship between Jesus and the Father, we must have with the Holy Spirit. As the Father was to Jesus, so is the Holy Spirit to us today. The Holy Spirit tells us, and we do. End of story. You know, there's no argument. There's no back and forth. That's a place where we're getting to with walking in the prophetic. You know, for the Holy Spirit to keep, you know, having that, role with you, you must not grieve him. If you grieve the Holy Spirit by not obeying his voice, you know, by not doing what he says, then well, you know, it'll be our loss if we do that. Now, developing the mind of Christ is very important. You know, when we know even what he likes or does not like, even though he has not specifically commanded it, I call that passive obedience. We do those things that are pleasing unto him. We keep his commandments, which is what he has point blank commanded, but also we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, which is his, you know, I mean, that's the act, you know, passive obedience. We know this thing is not pleased the Lord and we don't do it because we've been around long enough with him. We know what pleases him or doesn't please him, even though he has may not have point blank commanded it at the moment, you know, because, you know, we are emerging into a different level. It's one level to keep his commandments and we must. But it's another level to even do the things that are pleasing to him, even if he hasn't commanded it for the moment. But we know what pleases him, and that's what we do. And this is where the prophetic really is. The prophetic means you're hearing from God, just like his sheep. You know his voice. You are following it, and you're walking with him. According to Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, two people cannot walk together except they be agreed. Well, who then is going to agree with whom? Is it the Lord that is going to agree with us? I mean, this is what most of us try to make God do. We lay out our plans, we do everything, and then we tell God to bless it. You know, and well, for the most part, sometimes his mercy will do that. But when you really want to walk in the prophetic and walk with God, it's the other way around. He says, and we follow. Not that we tell him to bless what we want to do. But he tells us what he wants us to do, and then we follow. You know, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Hallelujah. And we don't follow strangers because we don't know the voice of strangers. So it may be a dream. It may be a vision. It may be both. It may be a still small voice. It may be the prophetic gift. You know, the Lord may speak to you through reading the word. And he may even confirm the word that he has spoken to you through someone else. And we've talked about all of these things before. I said confirm, and I stress that because if we are the sheep of God, we must be hearing his voice. God cannot be speaking to you for the first time through somebody else. You know, that's fallacy. We must hear directly from God. You know, now, there are a lot of people that are always, anytime they want, that's Old Testament stuff, you know. In the Old Testament, they look for a seer, they look for some seance or somebody or some prophet over here to tell them. They go and inquire the word of the Lord and all that stuff. Well, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And many people are still living like that. You know, when they're trying to make a decision, when they're looking for something, when they need encouragement, they're looking for some prophetic word from somebody else, rather than from the Holy Spirit, the source himself. So this lesson is designed to help us recognize our errors in those areas and shape up and start to hear directly from God. We talked yesterday in Exodus 32, you know, the tremendous lesson we see from those people who did not want to hear from God. After the medium, which was Moses, was gone for 40 days. There's nobody to hear from God, nobody to tell them anything. Now, they went and went after a golden calf because they didn't have a relationship of hearing with God directly themselves anyway. So it was a very tragic lesson, but we saw it there. And so we need to develop hearing from God ourselves. God may send somebody to confirm the word, but it's only confirmation, you know. And if you practice the presence of the Lord, practice developing the mind of Christ, you won't even need that extra confirmation from anybody. Because you already know his voice. It's when we don't know. I'll tell you some people that didn't know his voice, like Gideon. Gideon didn't know his voice. I've told the story in these lessons, in this series. He didn't know his voice. And when God started to talk to him, he wasn't sure that it was the voice of the Lord. So he said, well, I need confirmation. Let me put this piece of cotton wool or fleece on the ground, you know, and let it be wet only and all the ground dry. And the Lord did it. Well, he got up in the morning and it was so, and said, well, okay, maybe the cotton wool soaked up all the water. Well, bear with me this one more time. Let me, I pray thee, you know, turn this thing around. This one will be more difficult. If indeed it is the Lord speaking to me that I will do this and I will do that, well, then let me put this cotton wool on the ground again, another one. And this time around, let the cotton wool itself be dry and all the water around it be soaking wet. And he knew that was impossible. And then the Lord did it. Ah. And so finally he said, ah, now I know it is the voice of the Lord. And then again, the Lord will give him confirmation. He was standing in one place and two people were talking to one another. And one told his fellow, he said, I dreamt a dream, you know, and I saw a loaf of bread falling, tumbling into the camp of the Midianites. And the other man said, that's not a loaf of bread. That's just nothing but the sword of Gideon. He interpreted the dream. And Gideon was listening. I was hearing it. And now he had confirmation. Ah, thank you, God. You know, but the Lord told him already himself. He just needed a little help. And finally, when he figured out the voice of the Lord, he didn't need any of that stuff anymore. After that, he heard direct instruction. You know, these people are too many. There's 32,000 of them. Cut them back. He didn't need confirmation. He already now knows the voice of God. There's too many of them. Send them home. These ones and these ones and these ones. He sent them home. Afterwards, he said, look, they started with 32,000, you know, he told them a few things from the Lord, 22 went back, 10,000 will remain. God said, there's still too many. Bring them over to the water, I'll show you how you get rid of some of them. And the Lord showed him. And after that, there was no question again whether it's the Lord speaking to him. The Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon. Same thing with Samuel. At first, he didn't know the voice of the Lord, ran all over the place. After Eli instructed him, he figured it out. And after that, God said to Samuel, God said to Samuel, God said to Samuel. He did not need to go back to Eli. Neither did Gideon, after that, need to look for any confirmation from anybody. Now they know the voice of the Lord. So this is what we must develop. You must know the voice of the Lord for yourself. And that's called walking in the prophetic. Now, that doesn't make you a prophet. You don't even need to have the gift of prophecy, but you can prophesy. Everybody can prophesy. As a matter of fact, you can prophesy to yourself. The Spirit of God come upon you in prayer. Prophesy. Many of you prophesy, you just don't know it. You know, and there's also this thing I call prophetic prayers. You know, when you take the word of God and use it in prayer, then it's already prophetic. You know, but as a genuine gift of prophecy, we've already covered that in this series. There's a genuine article of prophets. We've already covered it already. So we're not just missing those things. But each one of us, where we're headed here, we're not building up prophets, pastors, apostles, this and that, all that stuff. We're not doing that. Those people are to build up. You know, look, people call me pastor and so I am. Jesus said, you call me Lord and so I am. People call me that because I do the work of a pastor. I mean, Paul one time he was arguing, he said, look, you call me apostle. You say, if I don't do the work of an apostle, then you don't call me that. You know, so these people that call themselves apostles and prophets, you know, well, you know, in the church at Ephesus, God was commending them that, look, you have tested those people prove those people that say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Yeah, people are there people doing that today? Well, test all those spirits and see if they be from God. But if they do their jobs well, God actually has, you know, these roles, prophet, apostle, this and that and so on, pastor, whatever. If they do their job well, I call them factory workers. Some of you have heard me say that. You know, and what is it they're supposed to turn out? Well, you can't send that car out of a factory without an engine. You know, the factory workers, they do the best they can to make sure they have a product that really works. And when they send that, when that thing rolls off the factory, comes into the showroom, in the showroom, everybody is admiring that car. Nobody is asking who the factory workers were. Nobody cares. Nobody cares who built that car. You just want to drive that car. You know, you don't care who walked. Yeah, that's exactly the way it is. If the, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, all these people do their work right, well, you know, then out comes this showcase thing. Hallelujah. That everybody will want. And nobody cares who the apostle was that did it or who was behind that. Nobody cares. Now, the world is not waiting for apostles or prophets or pastors or teachers or this. We have thousands of those things. You know, the Lord is waiting. The world, sorry, is waiting for sons of God. You know, according to Romans chapter 8, it's the sons of God they're waiting for. The world is not waiting for apostles or prophets or the next prophet. We've had millions of those things, and still here we are. But when the sons of God that have learned the voice of God operate in the prophetic, this whole world will be turned back right side up. That's right. You know, that's what we're waiting for. We need to emerge out of the shadows of some prophet, somebody that's going to sell you some prophetic word over here, somebody that's going to give you this over there. You have the Holy Spirit. They are able ministers of the New Testament. You got to see yourself like that. Don't say, I can't do it. You can do it too. Because Jesus said, look, when they bring you before the magistrates and all, don't even worry about it. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your Father that's in you that will do the talking. That's a prophetic inside of you. You know, it's inside of you. He said, look, he's with you now, but it will be inside of you later on. And when you have him, he's with you all the time. Hallelujah. And it will show you things to come. That's a prophetic. It will guide you into all truth. That's a prophetic. It will take off mine and show it to you. That's the prophetic. It will not testify of himself, but it will testify of me. That's a prophetic. All the things that the Holy Spirit will do, guide you into all truth. It's a prophetic. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Now, John heard Jesus when he was saying it. In fact, he wrote all those things in John chapter 14. John chapter 15 and John chapter 16. And then after all of that, when he wrote his epistle, he wrote it again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The anointing which you have received, I call it the prophetic anointing. It comes in the Holy Spirit. You've already received it. You know, everybody's got it. If you have that Holy Spirit, say that Holy Spirit, that anointing will teach you all things. And you don't need to be looking for a prophetic word here or there. Well, let's read it together. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. Say that anointing is not a lie. It is the truth. And as he has taught you, you will abide in him. Because he is not a lie. And he tells you the truth. You know? And that's it. He said, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. You don't need to look to anybody for a prophetic word. You got the anointing. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, does God still have prophets and teachers and pastors? Absolutely. But we're not quite there yet. But those things will go away when we get there. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, he said the role of these, you know, offices of the office of the apostle, the pastor, the prophet, evangelist, the teacher, all these things, their role is to bring forth the sons of God into maturity. To become the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, be just like him. You know, 1 John 4:17, as he is in this world, so we will be. Be just like him, come in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we come to that point, there's no need for prophet anymore. And so this series is designed to put us on that journey, one step at a time. People say, you know, that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to pray now. We are going to ask that the Lord will help us. You know, we need the prophetic in our lives. You know, but it's got to be one-on-one. First of all, you and him. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Or how then does he speak? Or through all these means that we talk about. It can be one or many of all these means that we've talked about. He can speak to you through all of it. The greatest of them, though, Lord, you've told us, is the word of God. For we have more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, the scripture says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. A more sure word of prophecy, surer even than the vision that we saw on the mount, Peter said. Yeah, that's the word of God. To the word, to the law, and the testimony every time. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So, men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pray. We need to hear from God. We need a word from him. And now that we are hearing from God, well, let's make sure we are also obeying what he's saying and we are following it. Otherwise, you might grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. You grieve the Holy Spirit, well, you might just be grieved. You know, so let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's continue to hear from him. He's the one that will guide us into all truth. He's the one that will teach us all things. He's the one that will show us things to come. That's a one-on-one relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for everyone that's here today, hearing these lessons and hearing these things. Jesus asked his disciples, do you now understand? Hallelujah. And I ask the people in this room, do you now understand? I pray, Lord, for, you know, a heart of understanding that even afterwards, every one of us will go back and search the scriptures to see whether these things are so and not take any man's word for it. But Lord, if we find that these things be so, then quicken our hearts and quicken our spirits and quicken our pace. You know, you must quicken your own pace too, because the train is moving. You better get on that train. The Lord is moving. We are on the verge. We have actually started. We're emerging now into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We're coming into full sonship. Glory to God. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Can't be a child forever. Got to grow up. Unto us a child is born. But afterwards it becomes a son. And the son is presented to us. We've been children. Now we must become sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. And the son said his son can do nothing except what you see the father do. We as sons of God also, we can do nothing except what the Holy Spirit tells us. And he tells it to us every day. We must tune into his channel and stay tuned in. And go in and out, stay right there with him. Praise the Lord. And let's discard all these other negative voices. Get rid of them. Voice of distractions. Let's get rid of them. And the Lord help every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. And sometimes those voices can come even from those who are close to you, like Peter trying to dissuade Christ from going to the cross. Jesus recognized it
and I rebuke you. Peter, get it behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. And sometimes we must do that. Stay on course and don't let any voice discourage you. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless everyone. We give the Lord the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.